as we shared with the children, that passage that we told the story rather than read it from Luke is known as Jesus' call story. And I want to talk about Paul's letter because it relates to our call. Just as we said with the children, our call, excuse me, is to share God's love with others. And part of the way we do that is in Christian community, which is this community right here, and we're part of the larger Christian community. So when we do all that God desires, summed up in those words from Isaiah, we are following our call. Now, Paul's focus about Christian community and the way we live together when we work on this mission, as Carolyn said, had some irony or some humor in it. He's writing to this fledgling congregation in Corinthians, and they are known for their problems, as she said. In fact, my former colleague used to call it Dysfunction Junction, because this place had a lot of problems. They did many things, and we will talk about them throughout the day. But you can imagine the places you've been part of that could easily hold that label, Dysfunction Junction. So I want to talk about Christian community, and I found an example from my life because I served in camping ministry, camp and conference center, in administration ministry and outreach for 12 years. And it was a Presbyterian camp and conference center, and it was known for its model of small group camping. So for 6 to 10 days, these groups came together. They were usually half boys and half girls, and they lived together in tree houses and in hogans, tents on platforms, and in other types of structures around the village. They did everything together in this village all week long. They even cooked one meal a day over the open campfire, and the other meals were delivered to them, and they ate in this community, all in the desire to build Christian community in such a short period of time, because you only had 6, maybe 10 days, depending on what camp they had signed up for. So each morning, the campers went off for a few minutes by themselves for quiet time. And this scripture, as they sat surrounded by trees or overlooking the lake, this scripture was one of the favorite ones. And they would read from Corinthians 12, 26. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now I remember a particular group was a hiking camp. And it was 10 days long. And they had hikes every day of increasing intensity so they could build their muscles and their stamina, because on the next to last day, the whole day was planned for a hike to Old Rag. Has anyone ever hiked Old Rag? Oh, we've got one, two out there. It's a serious hike, right? And so they had to build up for it. And this was the culminating event. We're going to be able to say, I hiked Old Rag. So they were pretty excited. And the day approached. Now they still canoed. They still swam in the pool. They still did all kinds of camp activities. They cooked their one meal a day, but every day they went on a longer and longer hike. Well, the day before a big hike, one of their campers sprained his ankle. And it wasn't bad enough to be sent home so close to the end of the camp, but it was bad enough that he was not going to Old Rag. And he needed the assistance of crutches for the day. So you can imagine how heartbreaking this news was for him. Now, the camp counselors had worked out a plan where he could spend the day at the nurse's hut, which was right near the pool. And of course, pool time was prescribed to take the weight off his ankle and give him some movement, but to also keep the weight off of it. So he was going to live with the nurse that day while they went off to hike. Now, the group began to feel some of his suffering because they realized they would be making this hike without one of their members. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. These campers are in some ways a microcosm of the Corinthians story. The folks there in Corinthians were separating themselves, not because of an injury like a sprained ankle, but because they would have a community meal and the people who came first would start eating. And then the people who had to work late and came had, you know, crackers and cheese left. There was no food left because people had started eating as soon as they got there. Some of the other things they were doing that were very specific to this passage was they were ranking each other based on spiritual gifts. Now, the gifts are many, and everyone has something different that they are gifted in. And sometimes it takes some recognition by the community to help point it out and let you develop it. But they were ranking them. So some are higher. So that would be like saying the preacher is higher than a teacher. No, no way. And that would be like saying, you know, the person who greets you at the door is better than you because they went in and welcomed you. No, we are all equal. And so to make that point, Paul uses this story about the body, because he was not having any of this ranking. Well, he was using this metaphor about the body, which was a common political metaphor of the day. But Paul turns the metaphor on its head, pun intended. In his day, the political leaders used this metaphor of the body in order to keep you and me in our place. They would say the body's seemingly less desirable parts had a proper place, and so you should stay in your proper place. Stay in your place. Don't try to be more than who you were born to be. Be grateful for your superiors, and if you work for them, accept whatever wages they decide to give you. You get the drift. That's how that metaphor was used. The leaders were happy to use that illustration to maintain the hierarchy that they were high in. But Paul uses the body metaphor to stress equality among the members of Christian community, the importance of each member, and the equality. So you heard him use the metaphor to declare that for one person to assert superiority over another is ridiculous. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, would that make it any less a part of the body? Paul urges this congregation, and therefore our congregation, to actively cultivate what he called, or many call, a spirit synergy. Because the natural scheme of things is turned upside down in God's world. The natural scheme of things was turned upside down by Christ. So the point is, the apparently lower class members play an indispensable role in community. One professor, Lee Barrett, wrote, "The disabled, the uneducated, even the ugly have gifts of great value to offer the community because they reflect the weakness of Christ." I think this is one of the hardest concepts for any of us to get our mind around, because society still tells us to stay in our place. Society still tells us to honor the people who have the most wealth, to honor the people who have power over you. From newspapers to social media, we are influenced to keep hierarchy going. But Paul attempts to help us by pointing out that in the body, the weaker parts actually hold the most important functions. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. So So how can we hang on and embed this knowledge in our community? How can we get our actions in line with what Paul is telling our heads to believe? And how can we really hold true to the point that infinite diversity and infinite combinations is our greatest strength? Well, Paul has an answer. He says that this organic oneness in Christian community is a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a gift of grace. Or as Barrett put it, Christian community needs to enact what it already is. It's a powerful answer to the question of how can we be equal yet so very different. The answer is that we are already a united body of equals. We are already the body of Christ. With all our diversity, our weakness, our uncertainty, and our doubt, yes, we are all part of each other in this community, and also that means that we are really and truly a part of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. For what else can we say? So what does Christian community really look like when we live who we really are? How does it feel to enact the body of Christ that we are? Well, Paul's words from Corinthians hovered in the thoughts of those campers back in my camp story as they faced that culminating hike of the week without one of their members who was headed for the nurse hut to rest his sprained ankle. When one member suffers, all suffer together. But they knew the whole point of attending the hiking camp was to hike Old Rag. The morning of the hike, the counselors began preparation early. The packed lunches, plenty of snacks, lots and lots of water bottles. The campers came together and asked to speak to the counselors and the special leadership for the hiking trip. And then they said, our whole village voted, and we decided we want to skip the hike to Old Rag today. We want to stay together, all of us, on this last day of camp. We can hike on site, and we can spend extra time in the pool, and then we'll be with our friend, our member. They decided to skip the hike that they had come there for. They felt their injured mate would suffer more, knowing he wasn't going and they were all there hiking. And they knew that they would suffer, thinking of him back at the camp and not part of the group. So they decided to do a little hike around the camp that day and spend all that extra time in the pool with him. What do you think of their decision? Pretty impressive for a group of 12 to 13-year-olds, isn't it? For any age. But that's what happens when we enact the body of Christ. Those campers walked the Christian talk that day. No one suffered, and they were happy about their decision. And what seems to be a miracle when compared to typical human behavior is just Christians being the body of Christ. Now, I'm guessing that many of you felt that spirit move when at the last congregational meeting, you made a decision to leave stained glass windows at the church on Arlington Boulevard and instead focus on the future. Focus on God's call to be here in mission with finances, and to look ahead at serving those around us. This community named Bethel, on the hilltop, has a mission and a call from Christ. And we will feel the spirit of the body every time we decide for Christian community over society's values. Paul is our greatest coach. So listen to him. And remember, Christian community is a gift from God. We already have it. All we have to do is act like who we already are, the body of Christ.